so ready to be back with our church family and to worship with you and to greet you. And I know we probably won't get to hug every neck and say hi to everyone today, but just like what happened over our sabbatical, there was some really special times, and I'm sure you'll hear bits and pieces over the next weeks and months, but it was so good, and all I can say is thank you. We've already told our staff, but we'll continue to do that. But thank you, guys. I know that you were fed, and I know that you felt the presence of God while we were gone, because God provides, right? And the pastors and the staff just did an amazing job. So we are so full of gratitude. So let's worship. Who's ready? All right.
Make way through the wall. promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. Still in your hands, this is my confidence. You never fail me. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. Still in your hands, this is my confidence. You never fail me, yeah.
Singing over some of these songs at the house, what stuck to me in that first song was your faithfulness, my fortress. My fortress. And I looked up the scripture. I love you, God. You make me strong. God is bedrock under my feet. And we spent a little bit of time in Colorado while we were gone, and we climbed on some bedrock. So I get it. That's where you wanted to be. You didn't want to be on the slippery gravel and the wet rocks. You wanted that bedrock. But it says, God is bedrock under my feet, the castle which I live, my rescuing knight, my God. The high crag. Is it crag? Because I've never used that word, and I'm sorry, but where I run for dear life, hiding behind the boulders, safe in the granite hideout. Okay, so a fortress, right? It's like a, my understanding is it's like this building or this structure, a group of buildings, strong, high. And it's a place like a military stronghold, like you can go in when you've been out on the field or when you're in at battle, you come back to the fortress. Come back to the fort, for you come back for information, you come back for rest, you come back for just protection. And so when it says your faithfulness, my fortress, I find myself thinking, okay, if your faithfulness is my fortress, then when I need something, information, defense, protection, rest, I can return to your faithfulness. I can return to the fort, and I can return my mind to where have you been faithful before, God? And I can hold on to that. And I just love that, right? Your faithfulness, that's where I can rest, even if I don't know what's going on. Faithfulness. And that is a reason to be grateful, amen. We've got it. In Jesus' name.
Got nothing to could sing these songs as I often do. Every song was in what you never do. So I throw my hands, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I'm nothing else here for me, except for a heart singing hallelujah.
get up and worship you. For your presence, God. Oh, so sweet. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. You are the medicine, the only cure for everything I feel within, redeeming what was lost in all that could have been. Oh, this is a healing kind of love. You are stay through the night when I was at my end, comforting my heart till it was light again. Oh, this is a faithful kind of love. There's your faithfulness again, God. You are.
sing that through one more time as we close this out. Thank you, Jesus. Never leave us.
Wonderful counselor.
You never forsake us.
Covenant is resting.
You're always near, God. Thank you, Father, for your promises. Thank you, Father, that you promised to be with us. You don't promise that there won't be difficult times in our lives, but you promise that you'll always be with us. So as part of this time of worship, Father, we pray and we ask for our loved ones that are going through things, whether it be sicknesses or marital issues or financial issues or problems with their kids, or Father, the burdens and the stress and the worries and the cares of this life, Lord God, sometimes are heavy. And so we surrender those things to you in this moment of worship, because you're there. Thank you, Father, that we can lean on you and trust you. We can surrender these things to you. That the burdens that we carry in our lives don't have to be carried all by our lonesome, God. We can lean and trust on you. It's in your names. We see it in your names, the promises of God and who you are and what you'll do in our lives if we'll surrender and if we'll trust. So we lift up our family members, our loved ones, our community members, our co-workers, those that are struggling, those that don't know you and seem far from you, Father God, that you're not far from them. And we ask that you would encounter with them and they would encounter with you, and that you would do a work in the lives of our families and friends and in our community, God. We ask for life and peace and joy in the midst of pain and struggle and discomfort. We ask for healing. Thank you, God. You're a God that can do anything. You can do anything. So we lift our hands up and we let it go to you. We thank you this morning, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name. We all said, amen, amen, amen. Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. He's a good God. Why don't you say hello to somebody before you take your seat? Shake a hand. Bump a fist. Learn a name. Glad that you're here this morning. Hey, I want to let you know, especially if you're a guest with us, that during worship, like, it's about worship. It's not about standing up and being up, because that's what everybody else is doing. And so I know some of you sometimes have problems with feet and knees and things like that. Like, during worship, if you need to sit down, that's okay. Like worship's about taking our focus off of ourselves and putting it on him. And sometimes if you're focused on the pain in your legs, you probably need to sit down so you can worship. So that's okay. Like, you can sit down during worship. We're not going to knock you. We're not taking notes or grading you on that. You can worship and connect with God from really any posture, as long as your heart's in the right posture. Amen. So I just wanted to let y'all be aware of that it's okay. We're glad that you're here, though. If you're a guest with us, this is your first time, second time, thank you for coming. If you want us to know that you're here, we have a guest card in your seat back, or if you're online, we've got a QR code, a link that you can fill out, or you can scan the QR code on that card that's in your seat back and fill that out digitally. We just like to know so we can send you a note of thanks and give you opportunity to find out more about Christian Fellowship Church and kind of get in the know of things and how things roll around here. Another way to do that as a guest, you can attend, or even as a longtime attender, if you've never been a part of the Start Here class, it's kind of our history fireside chat and what we believe and some question time for about the church. It happens every second Sunday of the month. So it happened this morning. So if you missed this morning, that's okay. You just wait till next month. We'll have it the second Sunday of October coming up. And so we look forward to seeing you in that. There's a lot of other places that you can, you know, jump to from start here. And that is serve here. Like, we're needing help everywhere. So if you have been thinking about serving or plugging in, or you're new in the community and you've been coming for a little bit and you're not sure if you're able to, yes, you are able to. We'll sign you up today. So we need help in the back with little kids, nursery kids, elementary kids. We need help on Wednesday nights with students. We need help with check-in systems. We need help with ushers. We need help all across the board. It's fall season. Let's get signed up for those things. We really need you guys to jump back into your volunteering commitments and even just, hey, you know what? I love my church, and that's how I'm going to support the vision and mission of my church, is by serving and serving on a regular basis. And so we'd love for you to fill out that serve here card, or talk to myself if you're kind of wondering where you might be able to get plugged in. Also, as part of worship, we like to receive our tithes and our offerings, of just as an expression of us trusting God with our finances. And God's led you into that spot, or he's put on your heart what to give. If you're a guest with us, it's okay. Just like you can sit down, you can let the bucket pass on by too. So just be at home here this morning. But as we let me pray and let the offering buckets get passed, and then we'll watch our announcement video. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that we can come and worship you freely, that we can come together as a family, as a community, as friends, express things that are on our hearts. Sometimes those things are heavy things. And we know that you care and that you hear us. Father, thank you for being present with us this morning. We know you're always present, but God, thank you for the special presence that you show up with when we come together like this. We appreciate you and we love you, and we give back to you of the abundance and the different things that you've given to us. We love you, Jesus. Amen and amen. If you'll turn your attention to the screen for announcements, then Pastor Corey will be up.
What's up, Sea of Paris? We are so excited that you're here with us today. We have just a few announcements for you.
All right, guys. First up, tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we are having our First Responders Appreciation Lunch. So first of all, if you are a first responder, please come and have lunch. Please invite everyone you work with. We are super excited to be able to honor you. And second of all, if you signed up to bring some food or to help, please make sure you're there. We are just super excited to make this event awesome this year.
Next, we have Food Pantry coming up. It is this Tuesday at 6 p.m. We don't want you guys to miss it. Please come out and help us stock those shelves and serve our community.
And lastly, guys, we have tables out in the community out in the lobby for all of our community groups to sign up. So go check them out. We have some incredible groups happening this semester. We are also having MOP sign up. There's a table with any questions you have. The MOPS leaders are going to be out there. So we're super excited about all the new things coming this fall. Plus all this right. New weather.
And guess who's back? Welcome back.
Corey Jones.
Corey Jones coming up.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, guys.
Man, it's good to be back. I will go ahead and admittedly say there's a few faces that I saw this morning that I did not recognize. You may be a guest here for the first time today, and if so, hi, I'm Corey. You might have been a guest here for the last 6 weeks. Hi, I'm Corey. I want to start by, before I even, I want to first just acknowledge Pastor Greg, Pastor Brandon, and Pastor Will, too. I've only gotten one bad report on them. I haven't told which one of them it is, but I have gotten nothing but just phenomenal reports. It's a blessing. A true blessing. Wow. Hey, Billy. It's good to see you back there, bud. He's wearing a Broncos jersey. I had to at least say hi. Sorry about that. It's amazing and refreshing when you know that God can do phenomenal things with the people that he's placed right here in this building. It doesn't take a man. And in fact, I pray that y'all don't get comfortable with me up here, because I really do hope to interchange people coming up, because we need to hear the word of God from fresh voices, from each other. That's what the gospel is. It's you and I sharing the good news. So again, it was Melissa and I have had a tremendous time away. It was not all tremendous. As you know, when you seek God, I mean, immediately what happens is the enemy comes and just tries to wreck it. And he's good at what he does. I mean, come on, let's be real. The enemy is good at what he does. But man, God is faithful. God is my fortress, my strong tower. I want to start a new series today that we're beginning, called Rise Up, A Simple Seed of Faith. And before I get into it, I want to kind of tell you guys some of where we're going. Next week, I am beyond excited. Please, those that are tuning in online, those that are here, come back next week, because we're going to take communion together as a body. It's going to be an amazing time, and honestly, I it's going to be a little bit different. I think a lot of times we go into communion with the bliss of communion, and not recognizing the hurt that Jesus was in at the time too. So I'm excited to talk about faith from maybe even a slightly different perspective next week, as we talk about communion, and then pushing forward into October the 15th. Mark your calendars, circle it. Like, put a big markers all around it. You want to be here because, my wife, Melissa Jones, is going to be preaching that day. I say preaching. She's going to bring the message. She's going to bring the gospel this October the 15th. So save the date. Mark it. It's going to be amazing. And then October 29th. October 29th, we are again having a joint service with PNG right here in our place. So a lot of dates to save, a lot of good things coming up, but over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about faith, and I really need you to stay with me on this, because I think a lot of times we have a tendency to hear faith and immediately our minds go to an assumption. You and I have a tendency to think of faith as a result. We like results. But see, faith, it's faith that painstakingly toils on the groundwork needed to ever get you to a result. Something fell. Look, I wanna start by showing you a picture. Do we have that next slide up? This is Death Valley in Nevada. Death Valley in Nevada is known for barren, nothing, death. Nothing can grow there. Nothing can occur there. Nothing can live there. It's too hot. It's way too dry. But then rarely about every 10, 15 years, there's a certain set of circumstances that occur, and all of a sudden what's called a super bloom happens. And as a result, what's considered a dead, dry, barren wasteland turns into a beautiful garden. How does what seemed to be the most barren, dry, desolate, death of a place turn into this amazing, colorful garden? How can this happen? Very simply, there were seeds in the ground. Very simply, there were seeds in the ground. There were seeds in the ground since years past, and those seeds had never shown their true potential because the conditions were not right. There were seeds in the ground waiting for the right time, waiting for the right conditions to grow, to rise up, to show their potential. See, again, our problem when it comes to faith is we're results oriented. We get excited about the bloom. It's pretty, the colors. In that picture, you see the yellows, but in a super bloom, what you really see when you pan out is there's pinks, purples, blues, yellows, reds. It's just an amazing sight to behold. We love the bloom. Wow, man, look at that guy. Things are going well in his life. Yeah, I mean, his faith must be good. But then on the other hand, when things are dry, desolate, lonely, hurtful, we look at ourselves and we wonder, we sit there and we think, my faith must not be all that big. I must not have great faith. I must not have, and we start to doubt, we start to question. We think that Jesus' message on faith was all about the mountains we can move. Come on, you've heard the scripture. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can speak to that mountain and throw it into the ocean. Ooh, wouldn't you love to do that? Like, just throw mountains. You know, whatever's in your way, get out. We love the bloom. We love the result. But Jesus' message was all about a simple seed. He was telling you and I that no matter how big your ask, and maybe even better, no matter how you currently see yourself in the natural, it only takes a simple seed. See, faith isn't about the bloom. We rejoice, we give thanks in the bloom, but faith reveals itself in the battlefield when you're at your weakest. Faith grows in the dry, barren desert when all you have is a simple seed of faith. Look, guys, God has placed seeds in your heart. I like to tell myself when Pastor Shannon comes and everybody in here gets all excited and says amen, that the reason is because I'm just deep and like y'all are contemplative. You're like meditative and thinking about just how deep Corey goes. And then I'm reminded of my wife telling me how deep I go. And it's not really that deep. Come on, you know where I'm going with this. God has placed a seed in your heart. God has placed a seed in your heart. And the enemy is going to come along and he's going to try and give you a hard time. He may even create what looks like, what feels like Death Valley in your life. And you may look at that area. Whatever area it is for you, whether it's your finances, whether it's your marriage, whether it's just relationships or the lack thereof, whether it's your job, no matter what the area is, we look at that area and what we see is death. There's nothing left. There's no hope. It's final. Nothing can grow. Nothing can live in this situation. But guys, I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you that God wants to cause you to rise up. God wants to build in you a faith that has been planted there from beginning of time. And even though it may have been years of no growth, I truly do believe that Death Valley is going to be turned into a beautiful garden in your life. I truly believe that God will cause you to rise up. I believe that God will cause the conditions to pour out, His Spirit poured out on your life, so that everything in you, your death becomes life. Come on, man, somebody. Because that's who God is. That's who God is. God is in the business of turning death valleys into beautiful gardens. Look, all throughout Scripture, I'm going to, Genesis 17. In Genesis 17, God comes to a man at the time named Abram. And Abram is in a death valley of sorts. Abram has taken on a wife by the name of Sarai, who's barren. The beauty of that story being that Abram knew Sarai was barren before he married her. And in that culture, like, your status was proved by who you could leave, by the heir, by the people, by the generations that you would provide. And yet Abram made a conscious choice to honor Sarai. She was in a situation that would have left her completely honorless in the community. And Abram steps up and says, "We're not going to allow that to happen. I'm going to honor you." And takes her as a wife. In Abram's mind, it's settled. It's finished. It's done. I'll never have an heir. I'll never have a son. I'll never have a daughter to call my own. But out of something within his heart, he made a choice to honor Sarai. And God sees this simple seed and says something very strange in Abraham's life. Genesis 17, 4 through 5, read this with me, look at here. "As for me," God speaking to Abram, he says, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations." Now look at something with me. There's two lines. God says, "You will be a father, for I have made you a father." You will be a father, because I have made you a father. Look, you can be everything that God has already planted inside of your life. No matter that you see Death Valley, God has placed a seed inside of your heart. Ephesians 1:4 says, "God planned you, formed you, shaped you, called you even before the foundations of the earth." Like, do you grasp that? I mean, think about that for just even a split second, and you start to recognize that your life was planned and ordered by God before He ever spoke the world into existence. Before He ever said, "Let there be light," you were already formed and planned. Scripture goes on, tells us he then knitted you together in your mother's womb. There's no mistake. There's no accident. There's no oops. There's no, "Well, we decided," either. "Mom and I decided to have." No. Mm-mm. The root of your life, every seed, every dream, was planted in your heart. Seeds that would come up and come alive in due time. At the right time, when the reign of the Spirit comes, when the reign of His presence comes on your life. So Abraham, in God's eyes, Abraham, because God planned you before the foundations of the earth, and because God placed you, seeds inside of you, from the very beginning, because of that, even though you currently see nothing but Death Valley, you are already a father. Because you see nothing but barrenness is no matter, of no consequence, I have made you a father. So you will be a father. So God's telling Abraham, rise up, become a father. You see, guys, you and I, we can always be everything that God created you and I to be. Again, that's not deep. You and I can be everything that God created you and I to be. Everything he called you to be from before the foundations of the world. Anything that connects with the seeds already planted in your heart. God's called you to be holy. So according to Scripture, and according to what I know, if God's called me to be holy, then even though I don't feel holy, I can rise up and be holy. He's called you to be more than a conqueror. So even though my situation, my circumstance leaves me feeling defeated, no, I know I'm more than a conqueror. Look, not on your own strength, not even on your own personality, but because there are seeds planted in your heart. And even though it can feel temporarily, even elongated like Death Valley in your life, the reign of the Spirit can change all of that. Come on, amen? It only takes a simple seed of faith. How about in Judges? Judges chapter 6. There's a scrawny little teenage boy who's scared of everything by the name of Gideon. The lowest possible self-esteem. He's hiding. But God called Gideon to be a mighty warrior. And so God comes to Gideon and says, you are a mighty warrior. Is God lying? But Gideon's, he's like a weak little kid. He's hiding. Like, God, what are you seeing? Because what you're seeing ain't the truth. No. God called Gideon to be a mighty warrior so that by definition he can be a mighty warrior. Because God called Gideon a mighty warrior from before the foundations of the earth. From the very beginning, God called Gideon a mighty warrior. So even though Gideon currently feels defeated like a nobody, Gideon can be everything that God already made him. You can be a father, for I have made you a father. You can be a mighty warrior, for I have made you a mighty warrior. So walk this through with me. If God called you from before the foundations of the earth, God did it. And then as well, if it was God who already placed the seed inside of your heart, and we know as well that it's God, his Spirit, that brings the rain, that brings to life the seed, well then what's our part? What do we do? I'll say words that I feel God gave me. I was praying and seeking God through these last 6 weeks, and quite honestly, just hurting. Flat out telling God, like, look, God, I don't know. I'm like, God, this is hard. It's dry. It feels dead. There's just areas of life that you sit there and you cry out to God. And the word that I kept hearing was remain. It was abide and remain, kind of both at the same time. And I be honest, I didn't really know. I was like, oh, this is, whew, God's going to give me the tingles right here. Ooh, give me the goosies. And so I'm like, all right, God, this is deep. This is something. This means something. Like this is going to be the rock upon which I stand. I flip open the dictionary. I real quickly start looking. What's remain mean? Remain. Stay the same, basically. I'm like, no, that's not right. I need the scripture. I need the deep one. Let's go to abide. Abide, that sounds more Christian. Look up abide. What does that mean? Stay the same. It even uses the word remain. I'm like, no! What am I supposed to do? You and I need to make sure our hearts remain good ground. Our heart cannot grow hard. Scripture is beyond clear on how important it is that we guard our hearts, that we purify our hearts, that we keep our hearts clean. Over and over and over again, the word heart, in fact, is one of the most used words. The human heart is one of the most used words in Scripture. In fact, I think it's like second to the name of God. You and I must keep our hearts clean. Not just because God wants us to. Not just because God wants you to, but because your heart is the soil for the seed of God's purpose and God's plan in your life. God has a purpose and a plan, a future and a hope. And if we keep our hearts pure, if we keep our hearts clean, then there is no Death Valley in the world that can keep God's seed from rising up within. Amen. All it takes is a simple seed of faith. I want to quickly share with you two attitudes of the heart that are needed in order for God's seed to grow. And I did it. I just looked down at my watch. 7 weeks ago, before I left, I'd look down at my watch a lot because I like to be conscious of your time and I like to be thoughtful and mindful, not just of yours, but as well of our children's church workers and the lovely children that they get to hold. But I'll be honest, guys, like, I think I've done you a disservice. I'm not looking to go 3 hours. We'll still beat the other churches to lunch, okay? Hold on. But there's something about community. At the end of service, I'm going to invite Pastor Brandon back up because, quite honestly, I don't want you to get up and just leave when I'm done. In part because I want to have time to get to the back to shake a few hands and say hi to people that I haven't seen. But as well to develop something here. To allow for God to grow something here. Two attitudes of the heart really quickly, semi-quickly. Needed in order for God's seed to rise within you. The first thing that the Bible repeatedly talks about is having a humble heart. God's seed will only grow in a humble heart. In the list, every time that God mentions stuff that he hates, like pride, it's right up there, right at the top. Why? Because pride will crush the seed in your heart. Pride will abort that which God planted within you. Pride will take away the power of growth so that the purposes and plans, the dreams for your life, the future that God has for you will not come to pass. That's why God hates pride. James 4:6, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. It's also why God has so many different methods of keeping us humble. Who's ever gone to read the Word of God expecting just that uplifting, oh God, you love me, and then you read it and by the end you're just bawling, weeping before God, saying, I'm sorry. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, God will utter things into our souls, into our minds. And in those moments, we can choose to be humble or proud. God will correct you on things that may be leading to Death Valley as opposed to growth in your life. And His Spirit will give you just that feeling, that knowledge, that knowing of, man, I need to repent. I need to turn. Another way that God humbles us, and this, quite honestly, it's the worst. It's, don't like it. God also uses other people to humble us. I don't like it. I mean, I like you sometimes. But no, listen, I'm joking, okay? But what I am getting at is very real. God will use people to humble you. It's embarrassing. Come on, who's ever been embarrassed? All right. Look, when you're so concerned about your self-image that you elevate that concern over your obedience to God, that's pride. But take heart when God humbles you, whether it be by His Word, His Spirit, or even other people. Take heart. Because He's about to cause you to rise up into a brand new dream. A dream that you couldn't even begin to dream or fathom. He's about to start the growth process of a seed that up until now has been hiding dormant in your heart. A humble heart. A humble heart is the first attitude that is needed in order for the seeds of God to rise up in your life. And then secondly, the second role that you and I have in this whole process, we have to have an open heart. This is amazing, guys. Listen. Some of the dreams, some of the seed that God has planted inside your heart are too big for the current size or state of your heart. So either you can pursue your dreams, your plans, your hope, your future, and shrink your dreams down to the present size of your heart. Or your heart needs to remain open. Remain open to even be able to fathom bigger dreams, to be able to see the future that God has for you. God says this in Isaiah 58, verses 8 and 9. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Now, listen here, because even myself, I think we all have a tendency to hear this scripture. It's a refrigerator magnet scripture. We throw it on the wall, and we look at God as how big He is. How high above us He is. How low that we are. It's not what God was getting at. This is an invitation. This is an invitation from God to you to rise up to a new level. Look at the verse right before. If we can throw up verse 7 with this. Look at this, guys. Verse 7 says this. God, again, talking to us, says, let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. This isn't about God and how big he is and how low we are. It's an invitation to allow the presence, the Spirit of God, to cause you to rise up into dreams that you can't even begin to fathom. God is calling you to expand your heart, to open your heart. Why? Because God wants to raise you up into the dreams that are coming your way. And you've got to be ready. You've got to be ready, whether it be for your marriage, for your family, for your financial dreams, for your job. And even, guys, the dreams we have for this church, the dreams we have for you and I, the dreams we have of what God wants to do here, you have to remain open. We have to expand our hearts and prepare ourselves for those dreams. Because remember, and I pray you get this here, look, the potential, the miracle in your life, its potential is never limited by the size of the seed. Hear this. The potential is limited by the container the seed is in. You can take a little acorn, little seed, and you can put it in a small flower pot, and it'll grow to be a beautiful plant. It'll be pretty. You can look at it. But it'll never be the towering oak that God placed, simply because of the container. It will never be near the full potential of that seed. You and I, we need a bigger container to grow bigger dreams. You need a bigger heart to fathom the bigger dreams that God wants to send your way. Look, God even challenges you with this, to dream big in regards to finances. Come on, you know the scripture already. Trust me in this. Trust me in this and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out on your life like nothing you can even begin to imagine. That's God. In regard to your finances, in regard to the death you may find yourself right now in, God looks at you and says, trust me in this. And see if I will not open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out on your life. Look, I'm going to close. I'm going to wrap up. Look, I'm praying today that over the next few weeks, that God speaks to you exactly where you're at. I came into this message again feeling the Lord just kind of repeating these remain, abide in my life, and yet at the same time feeling like I just wasn't hearing God. Like it felt empty. And worse, for me, the position I'm in, I get to hear about a lot of other people's emptiness. And it hurts. I know there's people that are dealing with things that I wouldn't wish on an enemy. And my heart breaks for the barrenness, the death valley that some of you find yourselves in. The finality of situations, whether it be a doctor's report that you're looking in the natural going, that's not, the word says I'm healed, but this doctor's report says otherwise. For others of you, it's signed divorce papers. You've been praying for your marriage. You've been believing. You've been holding on. And now you're looking at things going, God, this isn't what I asked for. This isn't what I signed up for. And it hurts because I know there's a lot of people right now that are just simply struggling. And I pray that over these next few weeks that God would meet you exactly where you're at, in the situation that you may find yourself in. And I'm not gonna try and pretend that my messages are somehow gonna create a super bloom in your life. That's not what I'm saying. It's God, and it's God alone. When I say rise up, even there's almost this conundrum. You look at that, and that's part of why I chose. Kimmy sent me that photo, and I was like, that's it. Because we have a tendency to wanna believe for the best. And when it's not there, we doubt. But God's there through it all. God's there through it all. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I'm praying. Whether it's for you, your life specifically, or your marriage, your family, your finances, your job, the relationships that you find yourself in, or the relationships you find you don't have. At Death Valley, I really am praying that God speaks to you in ways that are just amazing. If even nothing more than a simple word. Remain. Remain. That you would know that God has got a seed in your heart. And that rain is coming your way. But you and I, we have to walk with humble hearts, with open hearts. Full of expectancy. Full of expectancy for every miracle that God wants to bring about. God wants to change your life. But it requires faith. It requires faith. A humble heart, an open heart. I'm going to invite Pastor Brandon up, and I'm going to say a word of prayer for us this morning. If you'd close your eyes, guys. Father, I pray your blessing over your people. Father, I pray that we would recognize, that we would know that you have great plans, that you've called every single one of us from before the foundations of the earth. You place seeds in our heart. Knitted us together in our mother's womb, Lord God. And because of that, we can be everything that you've already made us to be. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that our role, that we would be mindful, that we would be conscious to keep an open heart, a humble heart. In preparation, Lord God, for the dreams that you have for us. For our relationships, for our finances, for our jobs, for this church, Lord God. That we would see something within our community, Lord Jesus, that changes lives. That our faith would be the testimony that others can speak out. That causes them to rise up. Father, today we stand as more than conquerors. We stand as warriors. We stand as those who are strengthened by you. We thank you, God, for all that you say and all that you do.
Amen. Isaiah 55, scripture you mentioned earlier, it starts with this. And we're just going to end our time this morning in a contemplative manner, just thinking about this scripture. I'm going to read it a couple of times through, okay? Just think about the words. Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink, even if you have no money. Come take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good, and you will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Is anyone thirsty? Are you spiritually thirsty for God this morning? Is there a crevice? Is there a piece of your heart? Is there something on the inside of you that seems numb and dull, that's thirsty for life? Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink, even if you have no money. Do you feel like you have to bring something to God in order for Him to move in your life? That you have to do something, that there's some formula, that there's some step, there's some A plus B, there's some combination of things that you have to... What's your part? Come and drink. Come to the Father and drink. With a humble heart, with an open heart. You don't have to have anything. You don't have to do anything other than say, Jesus, I'm yours, I surrender. I'll read it one last time and we'll pray one last time. But as I read it, think about the thing that God might be pulling on your heart. And lay that at the foot of Jesus. And just say, God, I'm thirsty in this area, and I need you to speak to me. And I need you to do something. Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come and take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me and you will eat what is good and enjoy the finest of foods. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen and you will find life. Thank you, Father, for life. We come to you. We surrender. Help us with humble hearts and open hearts to obey you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you this week.